magic of AM radio.
The book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Bacon, sign of evil number 4.
We're continuing our sign of evil countdown. Here's Vanessa Williams.
The Lollipop Guild only listens to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
Did you know that Wave Farm's WGXC 90.7 FM has its own app? The Wave Farm radio app, available for both iOS and Android, allows users to listen to live audio from any of the Wave Farm web streams, including WGXC 90.7 FM, Standing Wave Radio, the installations in the Wave Farm Art Park, and other partner streams. And you can also find us on the Bloomberg Connects app, where you can explore the Wave Farm Art Park installations and the Pomotsitok Wak Kulistok, an indigenous sound walk. Plan your visit and learn more about what Wave Farm has to offer at wavefarm.org.
The Catskill Food Pantry is located in the Parish Hall of St. Luke's Episcopal Church at 50 William Street in Catskill. The pantry is open to the public every Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. Healthy food is a right. For more information, please feel welcome to visit the pantry. Call us at 551-299-2456. Check the website at catskillfoodpantry.org or connect with us on Facebook at Catskill Food Pantry.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Christina Bonsack of Germantown, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Just run your knife really close to the cob so you get as much of the kernels as possible. That's 4 ears of corn. You'll need 3 cups of kernels. So now instead of trying to collect corn from all over your kitchen, all I need to do is pick up the towel and pour it into the bowl. How easy is that? Okay, now I'm going to make the batter. First, the dry ingredients. So I need 1 cup of, I use very fine cornmeal. And then I mix it with 1/2 cup of coarser cornmeal. It's kind of medium grind. I just like the combination of the two. It gives a great texture. 2 teaspoons of sugar, just a tiny little bit of sugar. Give it a little sweetness. 2 teaspoons of baking powder. It's going to make them rise. 1 teaspoon. Dry ingredients. Now the wet ingredients. I'm going to add them to the corn. So I've got 3 cups of corn. I'm going to add 1 3/4 cups of buttermilk. The buttermilk has great thickness to it. It's going to make really good pancakes. 6 tablespoons of melted butter. Add it right there. Just pour it right in. 2 eggs. It is sort of like making pancakes. And then a little sriracha to give it some heat. And just give that a big stir. Next, I need chives. And then because it's corn, I thought a little jalapeno would be good. So I wanted to have it.
The corn are nice and covered. I got my grill hot. I'm gonna put them right on the grill. Get that sizzle going. Oh yeah. I love grilled corn. So this is gonna take about 5 or 6 minutes per side. I'm going to add a few more ingredients to that bowl to get my salad going. This cream is great as it is, but I'm going to add some green onions, some cilantro, and the juice of two limes. The juice of these limes are going to loosen up that cream mixture. All right, so that corn is popping. That means you need to turn it. It looks kind of burnt, but it's not. You want that char because it's going to be so beautiful in that salad. That needs 5 to 6 more minutes. While that's going, I'm going to finish up on my dressing. If I'm making a grilled corn salad, I like something spicy, and I mean, I'm from the South. I got to use hot sauce. And I've got some cotija cheese. You can also use fresca cheese, which is less sharp and less salty. Mm-hmm. That red color, the pop of green from the green onions and the cilantro smells amazing. My corn is definitely done. Got some nice char on both sides. I can eat it right off the cob, just as is. And I'm going to show you an easier way to get the corn off the cob. I got 2 bowls. Turn the smaller bowl over. Place the corn on top. Look at that. See how easy that is? That's my last ear of corn. So I'm adding the corn where I have the mayo, the hot sauce, the chili powder, the cumin, the garlic, cilantro, the green onions. It's a fiesta in a bowl. Mm-hmm.
We're going to make my grandfather's corn pudding. We have 3 boxes of corn muffin mix, 3 cans of cream corn, 16 ounces of sour cream, and 4 eggs. So, Liz, if you could just start whisking those up. This is what we call a dump and stir. As you're doing that, I'm going to melt 2.5 sticks of whole unsalted butter, 8 ounces. This is the only fancy thing in here. It was cream cheese when I was growing up. Right. I'm using mascarpone.
Right.
But cream cheese would work just
well. It's beautiful because it has just a little bit of sweetness, and so it complements.
Yeah, it's Italian cream cheese. So this is just going to start to melt. And then I'm going to start getting the corn. Okay. How are you doing over there?
Okay, I have all my ingredients.
Oh, you're very, very efficient. So I'm going to take
chopped
your
up.
Corn. I'm going to put your corn in there.
How's my
It's melting slowly,
butter.
But we're getting there.
Oh, look at that.
I also have 4 scallion.
Oops.
So you're just melting the butter down with the mascarpone or cream cheese. If you boil it, it's really going to separate it. And you don't really want to do that. Ready?
Yep. No butter left behind.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. You want to butter the pan?
I'd love to. I live for it.
Room temperature butter.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
All that's incorporated so beautifully. Lift.
We also just put a little bit of salt and pepper in here. Nothing crazy. Just a pinch.
Okay.
Now, this cooks at 350 degrees for about an hour, right? 50 minutes to an hour. What you're looking for is it's going to set up a little bit more around the outside, get a little bit golden. The inside should have a nice little jiggle to it still. You don't want it to be completely
almost
firm.
Like a cheesecake jiggle?
Yeah, a little cheesecake or a creme brulee jiggle.
Mm-hmm.
We have the grill same way we set with the turkey. The heat is in the back. There's no heat in the front. So we're going to put this in the front, and when we close the lid, it's going to turn our grill into our little oven. Keep an eye on the temperature back there. Should be around 325 to 375. You're fine.
Okay.
So just monitor it that way.
which is the inside of the cob. I like to go in the top, make a little cut, and it is so hard. You need a sharp knife, and I just kind of rock the knife back and forth a little bit until it's inside, and then I'll do one big...
Okay. Nice.
And then once you get them cut in half, you can turn them over to the cut side and just use your leverage.
Work out.
Use a jackhammer if you have one handy.
Oh,
boy, there we go. Huh. So, got two more to cut.
How was your workout for the day?
Wow, wow, wow. So, definitely, kids, do not try this. Make sure you have a parent, and make sure your parent has a very sharp knife. Everybody be careful. Okay, so I'm going to make the seasoning, and it's a tablespoon of brown sugar, a tablespoon of paprika, and then a teaspoon of garlic powder, along with salt and pepper, just like I would make for regular pork or beef ribs. All right, and then I'll sprinkle the seasoning all over the little corn ribs.
Corn ribs.
And then, whoops. I forgot to drizzle with olive oil first. Boy, I am batting a thousand here. A little more of the seasoning. And then, let's go to the oven, Alex.
Okay.
All right, these are going to bake in a 450-degree oven for 20 minutes. Should we check out the corn ribs?
Oh, yeah.
Look.
Wow.
They look like ribs. Not really. They don't look like ribs at all. But they are ribs in that this little inner core is kind of like the bone. So I do have a little sauce that I whipped up, and it's a mixture of mayonnaise, brown mustard, barbecue sauce, and honey, which is kind of crazy and irresistible and mischievous. And I'm just brushing it on the corn. Okay, and then I'm going to get these onto a platter. Oh, these look amazing. Now, for garnish, I just had a can of French fried onions. And I thought they would just be the perfect little compliment. I could just eat these out of the bowl. Mm. Yummy. And then green onions.
Every summer.
Oh, you do?
That's right. It's a whole thing, a whole day.
Well, I mean, I don't. I'm too lazy. I also just eat it all. And I buy a ton of corn, and then I eat it all and say, boy, I wish, you know? Yes, just slice the scallions finely and pick some basil. Super easy. I'm just melting a little bit of butter. The penne is already swimming. As far as I'm concerned, if this is a pantry pasta, pasta swims, sauce, we meet in the middle. To that, I'm going to add really 2 cloves grated garlic. We want to get that going in the butter right away. And it just smells so good. I mean, we could honestly just stop right here and just eat that. Some crushed coriander.
Oh.
Whole seeds crushed. Not toasted. Bloom them a little bit in the butter. A little salt right in there. And just get that going. Stir so you break up that grated garlic, right? And it's just moving all around in the pan. Take a little nose bath. Smell really good. I'm going to add 2 cups of frozen corn.
You drain it, you put it in a thing, or you just...
You know what? In most cases, I like to use frozen vegetables, drained, all other liquid. In this case, even if it's still a little frozen or watery, you can just cut it out. A little brown sugar, by the way. Lots
of brown sugar. That just helps that frozen corn get sweeter.
Some scallions, drop right in there, expertly chopped. If you need more chives, by the way, you can throw those in instead, or if you had a leek, you could cut that up. Anything with these sort of green and vibrant oniony family of your, I'm obsessed with my crisp corn, all the best. that's going to sleep angrily in your freezer.
Cryo-death.
Waiting for you. Playing a towel. Drinking bourbon. And then we just blend it.
Okay.
You blend this. And right, yes. I know your next question. Could this be a soup? Could this be that? It totally could, by the way. Now, if you don't have sun-dried tomatoes, leave them out. No problem. We have enough flavor here. You could just add more scallions. I just seem to always buy a container of these sun-dried tomatoes, and then I don't use them.
They
all.
Sit around,
and
right?
They just look at me like, hey, girl, you said you loved me, and now what, you know?
I love a sun-dried tomato and corn moment.
Yeah, agree. Really summer, but just the rehydrated winter versions of the ingredients from the pantry. A little bit more scallion. I save a little of the frozen corn and drop a little bit of that in for texture. And this just, the rest of this dish just makes itself, honestly. You just stir the pasta right in there.
It looks so good. It's like hard for me not to reach in there and
it
grab
it. It looks like a white cheese sauce.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it really is, right from your freezer. You could even not blend it if you wanted it to be chunkier and just reduce the cream down. There's so many ways to go with this. Serve it up.
What's coming in hot?
A tiny bit of cheese for you.
Okay.
You know?
It's like a tiny bit. What's a tiny bit?
Well, you know, not really. But all over. There we go.
Okay, cheese on the floor. I like that.
Katie is going to help me grate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wait. Come on.
The basil.
Piece of that basil.
I don't know where that basil rolled up from. Sound like my mother.
I'm so glad I made a well-rounded forkful. I got everything.
Wow.
I know you said you could skip the sun-dried tomatoes, but I would argue, please don't. The sun-dried tomatoes just come in there with that sweet, tangy, vibrant moment that you kind of need when you're doing something from the freezer.
I agree.
You need a fresh moment. So, speaking of fresh moment, the basil, my God.
Mm.
Twirl that in there at the last minute and get your life. This is creamy, smooth, decadent even from your freezer and the little pop.
Bottom of the corn so it'll stand up straight, and then I run my knife between the kernels and the husk, just straight down, and they all just come off. I cook this in salted boiling water for about 5 to 7 minutes. It really depends on how tender the kernels are. So this is my system for cutting corn. Instead of having it bounce all over the kitchen, I get a sheet pan and a clean kitchen towel, and I just cut the kernels right onto the kitchen towel, just like this. So that's 3 ears of corn, and then pick up the kitchen towel and just put all the kernels right into the bowl. That works, right? Okay, the next thing I need cherry tomatoes. I've got 1 pint of cherry tomatoes. I use heirloom tomatoes because they look great. Cut in half through the stem, and then half a cup of red onion. Tex-Mex needs onion, right? And I've got 1 cayenne pepper. I'm going to show you how I cut it so that you have perfect little dice. Just cut it right down the sides, like that, and you get flat pieces that you can dice really easily. I know there's some left over, but you can snack on it. So I'm just going to dice this in like half-inch dice. You can use orange pepper, red pepper, yellow pepper, or all three. You want a real fiesta. Somehow I think you should make this salad when corn is in season. You could use frozen corn, but it really never tastes the same. I sometimes serve this as a first course like a salad, but it's a great side dish, or it's gorgeous on a buffet. Next is two jalapeno peppers. What I did was I seeded them, took those ribs out, and minced them really finely. It gives it a lot of heat. It's great. Makes it very Tex-Mex. Okay, next is a lime vinaigrette, which is going to really wake up all these sort of Tex-Mex flavors. I'm starting with a quarter of a cup of freshly squeezed lime juice. I need 2 tablespoons of olive oil. 1.5 teaspoons of lime zest. It's got a lot of flavor in it. A little garlic, just 1 teaspoon. Minced garlic. And because it's Tex-Mex, 1/4 teaspoon of chipotle chili powder, which is chili powder, but it's got a little smokiness in it. 1 teaspoon of salt and 1/2 teaspoon of pepper. And I'm just going to whisk it all together. I love these little whisks. I love making vinaigrette in a measuring cup. You can measure and whisk at the same time. Okay, I'm going to pour this over the salad. It's going to really be delicious. Think of all the flavors in this. Give it a big stir. Just make sure it's really well combined. It does look like a fiesta, doesn't it? It's going to be beautiful. And I have one more thing to add, avocado. What I did was I diced 2 avocados and I tossed them with lemon juice just to keep them from turning brown. And I added at the end because I don't want it to get too mushed up. I want to see the diced avocado. Okay, a little more salt and pepper. Make sure it's really well seasoned because it is, after all, Tex-Mex. I'm just going to taste it just to make sure it's good.
Take the back of your chef's knife and just gently press down on it. See? All that milk coming out. And so what I'm doing here is making my cream corn. My butter is melted. I'm going to add my corn. Right now I'm going to add 1/4 cup of whole milk, a few pinches of salt, a little black pepper. Okay. Now, I just need this to cook and kind of thicken up. And you know what? A little extra butter ain't ever hurt nobody. I'm gonna actually add 1/2 stick of butter to this. I want this to be creamy and cheesy and buttery. Start off with boxed corn muffin mix. I'm adding in 1 cup of sharp shredded cheddar cheese. This entire container of sour cream, so I'm gonna add a little tang to it. And 2 eggs. And I'm just whisking it until I see no more streaks of that cornmeal. Okay. Now to add that creamed corn. The consistency of this casserole is going to be a little crunchy from those fresh kernels of corn, creamy, and it's going to have a nice layer of brown cheese on top. I have a 9x13 casserole dish here that I sprayed with some nonstick spray. Pour my mixture right into the casserole dish. And last but not least, I'm going to top it off with some more cheddar cheese. Okay. My oven is preheated to 350. I'm going to bake this uncovered for about 35 to 40 minutes. Or until the top is nice and bubbly and golden brown.
cool for a minute, and I have a skillet that I've been warming, and I'll add half a stick of butter. This is a luscious dip. So many flavors going on, and I love that you don't have to make it at the last minute. You can do it way earlier in the day. Okay, the butter's all melted. Now I'm going to crank up the heat, and I'll throw in some chopped onion. I've got some veggies, and I want to cook them over really high heat to get as much color on the outside as possible. And then two colors of bell pepper, green and red. And then I diced up a couple of fresh jalapenos. I split them open and took out the seeds and membranes, because that's where all the really, really harsh spice is. And then a couple of cloves of garlic that I minced really finely. Now I'll just stir this around. I'm going to cook these for a few minutes just until they start getting a nice, deep, golden brown color. Meg has been Alex's best friend since they were really, really little. And this is very handy because Meg's mom, Hyacinth, and I have been best friends for a long time. All right, these veggies need a couple more minutes, so I'll just let those sit. And I'll slice the kernels of corn off the cobs. Okay, corn's all ready. Let me check on the veggies. They're starting to get nice dark brown bits. Perfect. So I will turn off the heat and let them cool just a little bit in the pan. And while they cool, I'll mix up the base for the dip. It starts with mayonnaise. I'll add about a half a cup and then the same amount of sour cream. Now I have an 8-ounce block of cream cheese. I made sure it was really soft so it would all mix together really easily. Now I'll throw the corn in, because this is hot corn chili dip. I'll just kind of break them up when I add it. Oh, I love grilled corn. Okay, and then the peppers are cool enough to add. So I'll just throw those in. This is a really versatile dip too. You can use whatever kinds of peppers, onions, veggies you want. Okay, one more big spoonful. And then I'll stir this around. There are jalapenos in this, but since they cooked, they're nice and mild, so you just get the flavor. Now I'll let that sit for a minute, and I'll grate up some cheese. I've got pepper jack cheese, but you can use just Monterey Jack or cheddar jack or just cheddar. I like using Monterey Jack whenever I'm putting something in the oven because it melts really nicely. That should be good on the cheese. So I'll add most of this in. And now, because this is corn chili dip, I'm adding 2 cans of diced green chilies, juice and all. Of course, you can roast your own chilies if you have them and if you have the time, but these canned ones are just delicious. I love them. I just have a couple more things to add. I've got some green onions, and I'll just slice them up. They add big flavor to this dip. Just sprinkle those in, and then a little bit of salt and pepper. If you wanted to kick this up a little bit, you could add some hot sauce, salsa, anything like that. Okay, the dip looks fantastic. Now it's time to get it into the baking dish. I just got a regular 8-inch square dish, and I'll just pour it in.
Steaming water and screaming lobsters. Okay, so that's the meat from 6 lobsters. I'm just going to put it aside and then put it in after I make the stock. The next thing is the corn. Can't make lobster corn chowder without corn. So I've got 5 ears of corn. This is the 5th. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut the kernels right off the cob. And that's pretty easy. And I'm going to use the shells of the lobsters and the corn husks to make the stock. Okay. And in my biggest pot you could possibly find,
I have 2 cups of onions that I've been sautéing in some butter and olive oil, just beginning to brown. So the first thing is, half a cup of cream sherry. Just has that kind of sweetness that lobster and corn have, and it really is sort of classic with lobster soup. So delicious. And I'm going to add 2 teaspoons of paprika, which is basically ground red pepper. It just has wonderful flavor, and it also has great color. That's 1 and 2. And just cook that for about a minute until it all blends together. Mm, I love the smell of the onions and sherry. Okay, next, 8 cups of milk and 4 cups of cream. And 2 cups of white wine. Remember, always use a wine that you would drink. You don't want bad wine in your stock. You'll have bad stock. Okay, and then the lobster shells and corn. Just this entire thing's going to go in, and it's just going to flavor the stock so beautifully. Spoon. This is why you need a big pot for it. And all the juices from the lobster, everything goes right in. Lid on. 30 minutes. We're going to have a great stock. Okay, so I've got 2 tablespoons of olive oil just heating away in the pan. I'm going to put the bacon in. And what that's going to do is going to render some of the fat out of the bacon and cook it for about 4 to 5 minutes. Okay, I'm going to take it all out with a slotted spoon. I'm going to put the bacon back into the soup later after it's cooked. And it'll still be crisp and flavorful. It won't sort of melt into the soup. And then I've got all that wonderful bacon fat that I can cook the vegetables in. How bad can that be? Okay, so I'm going to add all the potatoes, 4 cups of potatoes, lots of potatoes, 3 cups of onions. Now I'll get browned and caramelized flavor, and 4 cups of chopped celery. Okay, and all the corn, add this to what I'm sautéing in the soup. So these are all the vegetables, and then later I'm going to add the stock. Big pot of stock. I'm just going to strain it right here. You just want to make sure you get every bit of stock. Let it drain for a minute. So what I've done is really get all the flavor I can possibly get out of all the corn and all the lobster. So this stock is going to go right into the soup. It's going to cook for about 15 minutes. This just smells incredible. You can really smell the sherry and lobster, corn, all the vegetables. I'm just going to add a few things to make it really chunky. It's going to be delicious.
Outside husk of the corn here.
quite therapeutic when you do 200 hops a day. So it's in our first pop-up. We had a goat rib on the menu. We need a vegetarian option. Corn rib was something we've been thinking about, but we hadn't tried it. The wording works well. Goat rib or the vegetarian alternative. Corn rib. Just going to cut it in half. Boom. One whole.
Corn recipes. These are the recipes that are all over TikTok that have highlighted the sweet, juicy summer corn. Some of them just include canned corn. So these are going to be easy and just a whole new way to enjoy the flavor of corn. Starting with the viral Wingstop fried Cajun corn. I, for one, have never had Wingstop, but I've been able to taste it through that phone screen as I watch these viral videos, and my mouth just waters every time. What I love is that it's just like little manageable corn cob pieces. They're crispy fried and then they're coated in this really seasoned butter mixture. So you just start by cutting your corn on the cob into just 2-inch thick pieces.
Special ingredients, and that's exactly what makes it so addictive. If you're still just boiling corn in plain water, oh man, you're really missing out. That's like trying to grill without fire. It just doesn't work. Street vendors know the trick. They add two secret ingredients that totally transform the corn, make it super soft, buttery sweet, and melt in your mouth delicious. And guess what? You can do the exact same thing, right in your own kitchen. Today, I'm going to share those simple hacks and show you how to make boiled corn that tastes just like the ones sold on the street. Simple tips, big flavor. Let's get into it. Before cooking corn, many people tend to peel off all the husks. But actually, that's not the right way. When boiling corn, it's best to leave on a thin layer of husk. This helps preserve the natural aroma of the kernels. Corn boiled this way turns out softer and chewier. On the other hand, fully peeled corn often ends up bland and watery after boiling. So don't skip this step when you boil corn. Now, let's trim off the top and bottom ends of the peeled corn. The top usually has corn silk. Cut off any dry or yellowed parts, since they might carry bugs. Trimming both ends makes the corn cleaner, easier to wash, and helps it fit better into the pot. And while we're at it, don't throw away all the corn silk. Corn silk is rich in nutrients. You should boil it together with the corn to retain that nutrition. In traditional Chinese medicine, corn silk, also called dragon whiskers, is often used to make herbal tea in the summer. It's even a folk remedy that helps cool the body and reduce swelling. It's really good for your health. In my hometown, elderly folks even go out just to collect fresh corn syrup to brew for tea. It's kind of amazing how we can connect from anywhere in the world. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, feel free to hit that button. Salt until it dissolves. Once the salt is dissolved, place a plate on top to keep the corn submerged and let it soak for about 10 minutes. Adding salt during rinsing helps clean it better, since salt has disinfecting properties and can pull out hidden dirt. If the corn is dirty, just a few minutes of soaking will draw the dirt out. When the soaking time is up, drain the water and rinse the corn again. Do one final rinse, and you're good to go. The corn is now completely clean. Now we can get to the actual cooking. Put the corn into a pot and add a tablespoon of salt. There's an old saying, want it sweet? Add a pinch of salt. Older folks all know this trick. Adding a bit of salt while boiling makes corn taste better. Salt not only helps retain moisture, making the kernels plump and juicy, but it also enhances the natural sweetness of the corn. It really brings out the flavor and boosts the sweetness to the max. Just make sure to use only a small spoonful. Too much will backfire. Next, grab some baking soda. Yep, regular stuff you have at home. And add one spoonful, especially if you're boiling sticky, waxy corn. A little baking soda helps soften the corn. And for those who know a bit about nutrition, corn contains niacin, vitamin B3, but it only gets released when exposed to an alkaline solution. The starch inside will react too quickly and solidify, making the corn tough and chewy, even if it was super fresh to begin with. So turn on the heat and start cooking with the corn already in the cold water. Bring it to a boil on high heat. Once it's been boiling for about 5 minutes, flip the corn so it cooks evenly. Then lower to medium heat and cook for another 5 minutes. At that point, it should be perfectly done. Don't overcook it, or you'll lose nutrients and end up with hard kernels. When time's up, lift the lid. Wow, the smell is amazing. A sweet, comforting aroma fills the air. That's the classic corn smell we all know and love.
This is the easiest hack in 2025.
Make sure you're choosing the right type for your taste. If you're craving sweet corn but accidentally pick sticky, waxy corn, sorry, no matter how you cook it, it's just not going to give you that sweet, fragrant flavor you're hoping for. And the other way around, if you're in the mood for chewy, sticky corn but end up with sweet corn, the result might leave you a little disappointed. So, when picking corn, make sure it matches your family's preferences. Once you've got the right kind, the rest is a breeze. Just boil it the way I've shown you. And whether it's sticky or sweet, the final result will be absolutely delicious. It might even be better than the corn sold on the street. Sweet, fragrant, soft, and chewy. Just the way you like it. Once you take a bite, you'll be hooked. It's seriously hard to stop. I'm pretty sure every time you boil corn, you end up cooking a big full pot, right? Personally, I always make a lot in one day. It just feels like a waste of gas to boil corn. But when you make too much, finish it all in one day. No worries at all. I've got a super simple and super effective tip coming up to help you keep your boiled corn fresh, just like it was freshly made. Grab some plastic wrap and lay it out on the table. Then, wrap each ear of corn individually. Wrap them tightly and press out all the air to fully seal each piece. Using plastic wrap not only keeps out air and prevents moisture loss, but also helps protect the corn from bacteria and dust. Once wrapped, place the corn in the fridge to chill. This way, it won't dry out or develop any odd smells while frozen. Next time you want to eat it, just steam it for a few minutes, or warm it up in hot water, and it's ready to enjoy. You can even reboil it. It's perfect for breakfast or an afternoon snack. Quick, easy, and time-saving. This storage method works amazingly well. The corn stays fresh for 6 months. Out that leftover boiling water. That's what I call natural sweet water. It keeps all the corn flavor and holds tons of healthy nutrients too. Refreshing, nourishing, and nothing goes to waste. Pretty awesome, right? Boiling corn with the silk still on doesn't just preserve that signature corn aroma. It also boosts the overall nutrition of the dish. So today, I've shared a few super simple tips with you to make corn as delicious as the kind sold on the street. Results. The husk is what keeps the corn fresh, so if it's unwrapped slightly or turning a color other than green, it's generally best to skip those ears. Checking the hair or tassels on the corn is helpful as well, as they can also tell you how fresh your corn is. If the tassel has started to decay, making it dry or black, you'll know that the corn is old. A fresh golden tassel will result in the best flavor for a juicy piece of corn on the cob. Have you ever walked through the produce section, spotted the incredible deal on corn on the cob, and walked away discouraged as you found all of the ears that were left husked and totally dried out? There's a reason some stores even put signs up asking customers not to open the husks of corn. Corn grows inside a husk for a reason, providing the ideal home for moisture, and it's important to keep the husk intact for as long as possible. If you choose to husk the cobs at the grocery store, you're not doing yourself any favors. As soon as the corn is husked and exposed, it's more open to heat, leading the way for its starch to deteriorate faster, and the texture of the kernels begin to change. The husk can actually stay on during many of the cooking methods you might choose for your corn on the cob, whether you're grilling, steaming, or microwaving it. Once it's cooked, let it cool or use gloves to remove the husks to avoid burning your hands.